Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. A lot has happened in basketball, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. Sode 340 coming hot at you guys. And Sode 339. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss Me the Rock Desopolis. Nikki Snacks Kreider is driving his family to San Diego. A little vacay time with the fam for Nikki Snacks on the road. Dom Toretto style.
Doing that, though?
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. We used to do that when Nick was out of bounds. We would make up ridiculous stories. And to our guests, too, and sometimes they would believe us. We got Brett Gursky pretty badly, I feel.
I think a couple of people
were hoodwinked.
Shylocked. Met Nick and then said something to the effect of, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you did X. Oh, it was Daryl. It was D-Ray.
Yeah.
It was D-Ray where we told him he was doing
the photo shoot.
LA Chargers calendar shoot, I think.
Yeah.
Or like the Glendale Mall Santa.
Like Santa Bunny or something like that. Something. Like the Easter Bunny thing. Yeah. And like we used to, like, one time we said he was like in the hospital. That went too far. But hey. I think I said that. Welcome to the Charity Stripe. Crazy stuff going on in basketball. Okay, let's just recap what's going on. Kawhi, ACL sprain. Out indefinitely. Kyrie, ankle injury, out for the rest of the series, maybe more. Harden's back. CP3 has entered health and safety protocols. Van Gundy fired from the Pels. I mean,
you happy about it?
Dude, we'll get into that. Brooks fired from the Wizards.
They part ways. Mutually part ways.
Sure. Okay, let's call it that. And LaMelo wins Rookie of the Year over Anthony Edwards. And boy, 24 years. As president of ops, Dallas Mavs.
Yeah, Donnie Nelson.
Sad?
No.
Cool. He did his job.
He won a championship.
Yeah.
He's obviously responsible for all the moves we've made.
Yeah.
In the past 24 years. Drafting Dirk.
Replacing Dirk with Luka.
Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Luka. Some blemishes as well, as you would expect from any...
Bound to happen in 24 years.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis Smith Jr., Harrison Barnes contract, Chandler Parsons contract.
Okay, the Chandler Parsons contract's unfortunate. The Barnes contract is, like, fine, all things considered.
That was kind of a who's available.
Let's pay him.
Yeah. That was, like, a bad free agency market, and we overspent.
Dennis Smith Jr. was supposed to be Steve Francis, which is an issue because in today's NBA, Steve Francis isn't necessarily as valuable as he was.
No. And people flip-flopped on Dennis Smith Jr. in his first 2 years in the league. At the very beginning, everyone was like, they picked him at 9. Why didn't the Knicks take him? The Knicks took Nitinka.
Yeah.
Nitinka.
Nilekina.
Yeah.
Whatever, Frenchie. And he is, first of all, I mean, the Knicks.
And unlike, unlike Sacha Baron Cohen and Talladega Nights, Frenchie couldn't drive.
Yeah. He stinks, dude.
He's actually okay. He's finding a role in the NBA, but it was not a.
Sure.
What was he, the sixth pick?
Eighth pick. He's not the eighth. Okay. He's okay.
Yeah.
If you're the eighth pick, you better be solid.
But again, he was picked to be a guy that can create offense, obviously cover the one and the two because he's 6'5", he's great defensively, he's got a really long wingspan, but he hasn't developed any of his skills offensively to even touch that roster. I mean, you talk about the Knicks and their guards this year, he wasn't playing because they had D-Rose, they had Quickley and Payton. And even when push came to shove in the playoffs, Payton couldn't even start because he wasn't playing well enough. He's not a good enough player.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
So Frankie, all that to say, he's buried on that roster.
Yeah. Agreed. But yeah, Donnie Nelson, shout out to him. Great, great tenure there.
I think at this point, it's just like, it's Luka's team. Obviously, Cuban's not going anywhere. Shake things up. See if we can move things around. And
well, obviously, Luke is not going there, but there was reports that he may not stay long-term, which is that crazy or what?
Well, the reports that immediately followed that are like that it's absolute BS and that the Athletic and Bleacher Report were just grasping at straws.
Bleacher Report could suck it.
Well, I was...
Drink my piss.
That's disgusting. I was listening to the Simmons pod, and he was just talking about he and Ryan Russillo, who we've met and really
I like him.
Just that someone in out of these top 11 guys, we wouldn't be surprised if one of them moved. Just because that's the nature of the current NBA. That one of these guys could feasibly move, and we would act surprised.
Yeah.
We would, of course, have a bunch of hot takes about whatever team that person's going to.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the top 11 players in the NBA. That kind of tier one of all those guys. And Luka's one of those guys, and he's young, and they lost two times in the playoffs in the first round. I don't think he's moving anywhere, but of course, those kind of talks are always going
to
happen.
They just got to move on from KP. A lot of guys had the injury bug, as we're seeing in the playoffs, but the whole Kristaps Porzingis thing, he's just not a number two guy at this point. I think you have to agree with me now. Do you not? Are you still there?
The injury thing, whether he is or he isn't, like he said in an Instagram post that he's going to be back Unicorn 2.0, and it's like, you just can't believe him.
No.
Because he's too tall, right? And he just can't stay healthy. He's 7'3", and he needs to be, like realistically, if he were 6'11", or 7 foot, it would be a lot better for him. We've seen guys like Kevin Durant, guys like Giannis, who in and of themselves are unicorns, right? In their own right. It's just really, really hard when you're that tall. Like, Boban can't play more than 25 minutes a game.
And the game that KP plays, he's too big to play. Look at Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, he's like under 44% when he's within 12 feet of the hoop. Like, that's
which is the most frustrating thing for me.
But he's a bad post player. Everyone's saying get in the post, but if you actually look at his offensive metrics, he's bad in the post.
Which is a frustrating thing for me. Like, that's the kicker for me, is like, he's so big, he has to be better in the post. I mean,
but you can't put weight on, because if you put weight on, then you're just going to get injured again.
It's a mess. I mean, the Lakers are in a mess too.
But it's not, I think if there was anything that was indicated by that Clippers-Mavericks series, it's that it's not just KP.
The whole roster.
They need help all across the board. And now you're going to bring in a new guy, and he basically has free reign. It's not a Celtic situation where Jalen and Jason are untouchable.
Yeah.
And everyone else can get moved.
I don't know about that, dude. I don't know if Jalen's untouchable.
But he should be.
He should be, but...
He should be, because what are you going to do? The expectation is that you're gonna go get a third star, right? To get that third star, you have to lose your second star.
Yeah.
So then you're upgrading?
You have to upgrade to Dame. The kicker is...
He's the only guy that you can really do it to, because Anthony Davis isn't going anywhere. Embiid's not going anywhere. Jokic is, I don't assume, is going anywhere.
You can't.
Yeah, because once Murray gets back, like, that was the second best team in the West, second to a fully healthy Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis. They had a, you know, unfortunate injury, and Jamal Murray goes down the regular season, and we saw what the team was in the playoffs because of that.
Who, by the way, Jamal Murray is the number three. Is that fair to say?
No.
You think MPJ
is I think Jamal Murray is the second best player on that team.
You don't think
he can be? Yeah, he can, but he can't play defense.
Okay. Is Murray that great at defense, though?
No, but if you're 6'4", you don't have to be good at defense.
Sure.
If you're 6'10", and guys can switch on you in the pick and roll, and then you're playing a guard and you get burned, we notice that.
Yeah,
he's not an elite rim protector at his height either. He's a bad rim protector, and he's figuring things out. He's a young player.
His mental's getting there. Here's the kicker. So who do you give up for Dame?
Well, you have to give up Brown.
No. If you're the Nuggets, because the Nuggets have to be in there. If Damian Lillard becomes available, everyone has to be in there. If you are a contending team, you need to, and aside from like...
You're saying so the Nuggets... So Dame is the most gettable guy of those top 11 guys.
Maybe Kawhi, but you just don't know. I doubt he leaves the Clippers, especially with like Kawhi is now injured. Everyone assumes like, first of all, this is Paul George's defining moment. This is the most defining moment of his career.
Yeah. This is a good topic.
Is it not?
No, I mean, it is.
The game goes on tonight. We're recording before the game, so we don't... Everyone will have known what's going to happen. I just want to be the one of the first to say before it's all said and done, this is the most defining moment of his career.
100%. He already was, by MVP voting, a top five player in the league 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That team got bounced in the first round in 5 games. Okay? Because he was playing with Russell Westbrook, he was still the second best player on that team. He is now the second best player with a guy who has won... Three championships. Two championships, two different teams.
Should have been three with the Ray Allen shot.
That's right. But then they won, but they came back the next year and won.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting situation for Paul George to be in.
He was the number one seed maybe once, maybe a second time with Hibbert.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that he was very young then. He was playing incredible basketball at his athletic peak. But not necessarily like he was so tough. He was way better at defense then, but he wasn't as proficient offensively as he is now.
There's no excuse why they can't get a game still. At least a game.
I don't think the series is over.
If Paul George is Paul George, if he is who he says he is and who we think he is, this is not over.
If they
may have a tough time getting past the Suns.
This is a very, it's a defining moment in his career. Currently, in like the way that ranking NBA players goes, which the two of us love doing all the time, he got jumped by guys like Booker and Mitchell on our list, rightly so, because they're better than him. They really are. They show up more consistently.
We forgot about him.
We forgot about him, but I think like...
He's forgettable.
We kind of know what's going to happen. The Jazz are going to win this series.
Even though he's third team All NBA.
I would be shocked. It's not a good situation when my expectation is that he's going to flop. My expectation in game five, when all the chips are on the table for the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant is given the keys to the kingdom, is that he's going to walk right in that door because that's what he's done and that's what we expect him to do. Paul George is so inconsistent. In times, he is a top five MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And other times he scores 14 points on 4 of 14 shooting.
Was that the greatest game, KD's game? 49, 17 boards, 10 assists, by the way, which I don't feel like many people discuss. The 10 assists is crazy.
Yeah.
Top of the 49. Harden, I was on the plane, caught the rewind. Harden, not a great game. Even though I think the Harden thing, statistically was not, it helps.
I watched it. He was bad.
But it helps having him on the court
maybe
just as a distract. Like, look, it takes a little pressure off. It has to.
But he still played 46 minutes. He still was out there.
I don't know what Nash was.
Still out there defensively. There were a lot of situations where the Bucks were getting the switch where Harden was defending.
Yeah.
He did not have the first step that he normally has. His shot wasn't falling because his legs probably aren't there because he's got the hurt hamstring. It was very much an affecting injury to his play.
They use him as a decoy, I feel. There's no other way around it. You don't play a guy for 46 minutes who's coming off a legit injury.
Well, I don't want to say that because to me it discredits what Kevin Durant did. Because do you think because he scored 50 points basically? Well,
let me get to the point of like, do you think that's the best game of basketball you've ever seen someone play?
I think
with not just like from a statistical standpoint, with the heroics, with the way he caught fire at the end, with the big 3-pointer that he hit, that was just like when it was like 106 to 105 Brooklyn, and he hits that
end of the shot clock where he's off balance.
It's just like a ridiculous shot. Is it the greatest performance
that I recall?
Yeah,
like by an individual in a playoff game.
Yeah,
yeah. Is it as good as Shaq in the finals in the early 2000s? Now, like we're 7 back when that game's happening. What he's doing in that game?
You're registered. You're watching. You as a fan, and we've seen like the 55 point game Dame had. I thought that Spider Mitchell game he had in the bubble when he lost against the Nuggets was just out of this world. We've seen a lot of amazing games, but far as like just like everyone was like, okay, no Kyrie, Harden's not at full health.
Back up against the wall, and he delivered. And I think it was, I do. I really do think it was the best individual effort across the board. Now, there have been other times where players in spurts, like they might have had a moment that was better, like an individual moment or an individual stretch. The Clay scoring 37 and a quarter is something that like...
That's the craziest thing. I was thinking about the other day. My uncle was watching when Donovan Mitchell went off. I think it was game two. It was game two. They were down. It's like they're out for the count. Maybe it was either game one or game two. Regardless, the Jazz are down and the Clippers are in the driver's seat. I think it must have been game one. Clippers are winning. Spider comes all the way back and has that rip roaring like third quarter where he goes for like 20. And my uncle's British, doesn't watch a lot of NBA.
Mm.
And it's just absolutely, he's blown away by his heroics.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, he just scored 20 points in a quarter. My uncle's like, that's nuts. I go, imagine a guy going out and doubling that.
Yeah. Just shy of doubling it. 37 and a quarter. He just straight up didn't miss.
I think that's still one of the craziest feats I've ever witnessed.
That's an amazing feat. Obviously, Kobe's 81 was a tremendous feat.
Yeah.
Kobe's last game
was better than anything. I mean, that was better than any other than game 7 Warriors Cavs. And maybe the Ray Allen shot.
Yeah.
I think that's like third for basketball for me.
I do think that there,
as moments go,
individual like games, there's a lot of Steph games that are up there for me just because his side, like it's these guys that like what he's able to do, I'm in awe after every single play. And it's the same thing when I watch Kevin Durant. I'm in awe after every play. And then I'm kind of like, well, what did you expect? He's the best in the world right now.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have come out, like a lot of people are saying today, he's the best in the world. He's the best on the planet. A lot of other people in the LeBron camp are saying, well, it's just because LeBron's hurt. Every time KD has been dubbed as the best player in the world.
I think it's done.
I do too. I think maybe in 2019 when LeBron was hurt, you could have made the argument that it's just because LeBron's hurt. Although I do think that as good as Kevin Durant's playing right now, he was playing just as well in those playoffs before he got hurt, before he hurt the Achilles.
Yeah.
But now
they're about to win again.
Yeah, now I think we can put it to rest. LeBron is not the same guy that LeBron was last year.
He's amazing.
2 years ago.
He's still a top 5 player.
Yeah, but he's on the cusp of being 5-8.
He's right. We threw him at 4.
But availability is important, as we always talk about.
Best ability. That's why I think the AD thing is about to, sour in Los Angeles. I think the Sixers are in trouble because Embiid is clearly not healthy enough. And the Hawks are not. The Hawks are a good enough team where once they smell blood in the water, again, we are recording before this game, so for all we know, Embiid could come out in game 5 and just absolutely blow the doors off the place.
Yeah.
But the Hawks
are... They are the better team.
But the Hawks are... The way the Hawks are built is dangerous. When you have a guy that can kind of break down... First of all, can hit from anywhere, from beyond.
Yeah.
Can get inside the paint, break it down, hit a floater... Or kick it out, and the guys surrounding on the exterior are Bogdanovich, Gallinari, Hoiter, Hunter's back, or you can just kind of, you're playing bigger ball.
Collins, who can stroke it.
Collins, who's been on, he's been hot from 3, proven himself there, and he's a high flyer. He could come in and cut. You have Capella, who you could dump it off to. It's just the whole makeup of that offensive team is, and they're playing above their pay grade defensively. It's just offensively, they're a very well-made team, I believe.
They would be the least surprising team for me to win the championship. If they won the championship, given the 8 teams that are still in it, I would be like, what?
You mean most surprising?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, most surprising.
Most surprising.
The Hawks?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, seven teams, Nuggets are done.
True. But
fucking Suns in four. They got...
Suns in four. That video of that guy.
Booker was about it, dude. Booker
yeah, he was all about it.
You know, Lisa Ann, we had lunch with Lisa Ann. She was so ant. She like, I think that's a kicker of why she wouldn't go to the game with us. We invited her to the game. Mets Padres, me, her, and Nick, and we replaced her with Evan, our buddy, and my dad.
John from New York.
John from New York. And the... I think she doesn't like the... A, because like, it's tough for her to go to these games with like, all these creepers.
Right.
B... I think there's like the games getting violent, and I think that Suns thing proved it. They were taunting him. I think they caught the video at a bad time of them going at him. The Suns guy just
Seen the full video. Yeah. They were kind of like, watch this. I'm gonna fight this guy,
which is great. I mean, which is like, you know,
it was after the game was over too. It was game three.
Too much animosity. I mean,
then the guy kind of knocks him, right, hits him square in the face.
Oh, and just pelted him. Yeah, he beats the shit.
And then he looks directly into the camera and. Pretty calmly is like Suns in four.
But he has 30,000 followers on the gram now.
I saw that.
And his Instagram handle is now Suns in four.
It's hilarious.
Way to monetize. You know, somebody was like, you should do that. And he was like.
And those guys didn't press charges.
Charges? How can they? They started it.
Yeah.
If you start the fight, you can't press the charge.
Well, unless, if anybody's watched an NBA game before and watched Chris Paul play, they know oftentimes Chris Paul initiates the contact, but he rarely gets an offensive foul called against him.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I
it's just when people are watching.
Do you like that Jokic? I mean, I know. Did we speak about the Jokic? We spoke about the Jokic thing.
We did, last show.
Nah, but okay.
Paul George, all the pressure on him.
All the pressure's on him.
All the pressure in the world. I expect him to buckle.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Part of that, I think, is because even with Kawhi, this Jazz team, minus Mike Conley, is an even match.
People harping on Mike Conley that he's not playing is absolutely can totally for the rest of their lives kick rocks.
Yeah, I mean, he's
this
hurt.
Guy has want. There's no way this guy has to be on his deathbed. He's played through everything. This is the best chance he has.
Well, you look at that Brooklyn game, and you were bringing up James Harden. If the Nets lose, there are a lot of people saying, Steve Nash, why'd you play James Harden? Why even do that? Why not rest him, take the loss because you were going to lose anyway, and then play him in the next game when he's a little bit more healthy and can be more effective?
Fortunately for them, they won.
Right, on the heroics of Kevin Durant. And I think for the Jazz, if they win, maybe it's a different story now that Kawhi's out, but Donovan Mitchell has been carrying this team on his back. The heroic effort that he's putting forward for all of us to watch is an amazing display.
You're going to hate this because you're a Booker stan and I'm a Mitchell stan.
Yeah.
I just think he's better. Is that crazy? Why is it so crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I think he's upgraded. And I think the thing that's impressive to me is that he upgraded without Chris Paul, right? The Suns have Chris Paul. We were talking about a lot during the season that Chris Paul, guys like Chris Paul, Steve Nash before him, John Stockton, those type of point guards, the pure points, unlock other guys around them. LeBron unlocks other guys around him. Luka makes me believe that guys on our team are actually good sometimes. When Maxi Kleber shoots 47% from three. Like, certain guys smoking in the NBA mirrors. Just unlock other guys because they create really easy high percentage opportunities for them. Now, do I think that once Chris Paul is gone out of the NBA, that Devin Booker will continue to be different because of it? Yes. Donovan Mitchell didn't have Chris Paul on his team. He kind of has had to elevate himself into this position by himself. Do I think there's some sort of tutelage going on with Dwayne Wade, who a lot of us have been comping him to since he first got into the league? Yes. Are they the exact same player? No. He's basically Dwayne Wade that doesn't get to the rack as much, who shoots more threes and at a higher percentage.
He's a modern Dwayne Wade.
He's a modern Dwayne Wade.
I think he's closer to Wade than
Booker. Not as good defensively, because Dwayne Wade was an elite defender.
I think he's closer to Wade than Booker is to Kobe, than Trey is to Steph.
Trey and Steph are the least comparable
of the three.
Correct.
For sure. And I'm not saying this because, and have you actually, speaking of love for players, are we there yet where you were starting to really like Trae Young, or you're still like, he could kick rocks? I know you like him, but like, are you really starting to like,
Well, I love the narrative, which you talked about, of him being the heel. I think it's important for basketball.
Very.
It's a sport. Sports need to generate revenue for us to continue to watching them and enjoying them. Mm-hmm. That's an important aspect of sports.
Yeah.
He is learning how to play within himself better than he has. The turnover numbers have been reduced. Part of that is a good head coach, better guys around him. He's not forcing it as much.
Yeah.
He's not chucking up those 35-footers when he shouldn't be. There are times that you play within the game. If you the ball gets swung from the corner back to Trae Young 30 feet away, you're up four. He hits that three. It's a dagger. You're up seven now. That's a big moment. It's an impactful moment in the game. You're down five. Do you want to take that 35-foot pull-up? You're not Dame Lillard.
No.
You haven't hit it that consistently. You're down five. Do you know that you can get a better option if you work through the offense 12 seconds into the clock rather than shooting with 19 seconds left?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I think he's learning a lot. He's growing a lot.
The 18 assist is telling.
Yeah, I mean, he's always...
phenomenal.
But he's always been able to do that. That but talent has always been there.
Now he's doing it.
Yeah, he's doing it on, and against a good... against arguably the best defensive team in the NBA, besides the Lakers at full health.
I still think at full health the Sixers are. They have three guys on all NBA defensive teams.
Yeah. Yeah, those rankings or those awards came out. Deservedly so.
I mean, Thibault's like not even really a starter.
He wasn't. He came off the bench the entire year.
Yeah, so he's a guy to bench guys when he's that good.
Very impressive.
And like, it's not even including Danny Green, Tobias Harris, who's great defensively.
Right.
You know, they're
no, really... but okay, Trae Young, he's rising. I mean, the better guys play. If a guy's a good player, I'm not going to hate him for forever.
That's true.
But Booker and Mitchell are better than him, for sure, in my mind.
Hawks still take a massive L on that trade, still taking the biggest L of all time.
Only part of it is only because Cam Reddish is no one.
Horrible pick.
Cam Reddish is no one.
Horrible pick. Speaking of Cam Reddish, Anthony Edwards said that was the toughest player he ever had to guard in high school. Crazy. Anthony Edwards.
He was 6'8".
Yeah.
He's 6'8". He can shoot. You're going in the lane, like, at the time. Like, yeah. Those guys in high school, like, he's knocked down, right?
Mm-hmm.
He dunks if he gets within the lane, right? Because he's much taller than everyone.
Get the tallest guy in the opposing team, 6'8".
I'm not surprised.
I'm also not surprised because a lot of the times when it comes so easy to you and when you rely on your athleticism too much and you don't build aspects of your game out, like RJ's game was so much more advanced. Zion's post game is just, it translates. He's so powerful and strong and athletic that it does translate.
He's just that big.
When there's like
he's one, just that strong.
Yeah, there's one guy in high school, it's Cam Reddish, that can do that. You get to the NBA, like, everybody's doing it.
Well,
every wing player can do what Cam Reddish does.
He was so enticing because he was that prototypical, like, swing man, 6'7", 6'8", Paul George type, right, that we were so enamored with in the early 2000s when Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady came into the league. They can do it all, right? They can shoot. They've got the great stroke.
Yeah.
They get up above the rim. They could hypothetically rebound because they're so athletic. They can defend your best player. Like, it's this whole package that we fall in love with, and sometimes you do have to
take... Josh Jackson, same little situation.
Yeah, he's a little smaller, but like he's that same type of like he's very athletic. He's a great defender. We'll figure out the offensive side. That stuff will come. But
once you can't figure out the offensive side, a lot of times like a guy like Thibault's picked later. He knows what he has to do. He's not picked and heralded.
Andre Robertson with a better jump shot.
Yeah, he's not heralded as one of this. Not saying much. He's not being heralded as like one of these like premier next guys. So I think from a mental health standpoint, I would love to like. I mean, we can't just pick these guys out and just talk to them about it. But maybe some kind of mental health specialist in the NBA, which would be great to talk to.
Yeah,
I'm curious. Does that have an effect? I think it has to. Like you think you're supposed to be this. And all of a sudden when you're, you could talk about it from like a point of like, let's say you're like acting or like you're like any kind of thing like outside the NBA or like just like in our own lives, everyone, if you're heralded as this or people think you're this and you fail to meet those expectations, it's very tough to just bounce back.
It's a big ego blow.
It's a big ego blow for these guys. I mean,
they're young guys. They're impressionable.
We're young guys. We see it all the time in other shit. It's big. It's crazy.
Like you said, he's the best player in high school. He's playing against Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is saying that. He's still saying it.
Yeah.
Then he goes to... We've talked about this multiple times. Then he goes to Duke. He's playing third fiddle. He's really not stepping up like he should be, even in big moments. He has that one shot against... I can't remember who they were playing where he hits the last... The game winner, right? But everyone's talking about RJ. Everyone's talking about Zion. Everyone's talking about Zion being the next LeBron. Or everyone's saying that Zion's going to be the first Zion. Whatever the conversation is, it's not around Cam Reddish. And if it is around Cam Reddish, it's... He's not who we thought he was.
No, not even close.
And then he gets to the NBA, and it's the same thing. Yeah. We're talking about this Luka, Trae Young trade, and we're saying that's the reason why they lost the trade is because of him. Like, I don't think he's a listener of the pod, but like, that's that constant kind of fodder that you're digesting, and it can't be helpful from the mental side.
I do think if his name is brought up, it's a negative connotation.
Yeah,
which is sad. But another negative connotation. Speaking of the Zion, Pels, Fire, Van Gundy, won't go too much into it. All I'm going to say is, if I was in a coma, I could have told you that was going to happen. If I was in a effing coma, I could have told you Van Gundy would be jobless at least within 2 years. A stretch, and it happened.
It will be really interesting to look at this team next year with whoever they bring in, because I don't necessarily know if it's just Van Gundy that's the issue there.
Well, there's a lot of issues.
He was the issue. Can Zion take this team in a very competitive West with maybe a few more additions to the playoffs?
You have the two guys already. I mean, Ball actually developed well and played Ball was healthy.
Okay, but they can't afford him.
Okay.
Right?
Well, they can. They can just pay him. They'll just go over the cap. And it's the question of, they can't afford him. It's, do you want to pay him or do you want to go and swap him?
You're not moving on Zion. You just signed Brandon Ingram to this big contract.
That's the big issue for
now.
Now
you're locking yourself into those three, and you can't really deviate from it unless you want to move one of them.
They're in a tough pickle to lock in Lonzo.
And I think with the Pelicans, it's the situation where it's like, similar to the Boston Celtics, if you want to go get someone better, you got to give up Jaylen Brown. And then you don't have Jaylen Brown. You want to go get someone, you got to give up Brandon Ingram, and then you don't have him.
Watch this. Sign and trade with the Hornets.
For who?
Hayward.
And then what?
The Pels bring on Hayward.
Uh-huh.
They just get a guy who's, guess when he's healthy, is a good offensive player.
Yeah.
You give B.I. more of a ball-dominant role. You have Bledsoe still. You have Alexander Walker. You just drafted Kira Lewis.
You put the Ball brothers together? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Hayward.
With Scary Terry.
Hayward's cool playing third fiddle and being super efficient.
You don't give a shit. He's cool being there. Yeah. He likes it. He's low key. The big issue for me the whole year with the Pelicans, aside from Bledsoe going from great player in Milwaukee to absolute uselessness, B.I., B.I. was an all-star the year before, and he had a good year, but it was the same year. He did not develop. There was no next. All the other guys did.
He also got superseded by the guy that they brought in, who is already a better player than him.
But he still didn't develop. I mean, look, like Kawhi is a better player than Paul George. Paul George is still a third NBA team. I'm not saying B.I. has to do that, but B.I. went from all-star to, he had a great year for his.
Paul George is 30.
I'm just saying, B.I. should have continued on an all-star path. Everybody, look, Chris Paul came into the Suns, and Booker was just as good, if not better. Zion and the offense they're running, but Zion's
But when push comes to shove, whose team is the Suns? It is Chris Paul's team.
Yeah.
Whose team is the New Orleans Pelicans?
It's Zion's team, for sure. But I still, you don't think B.I. could have taken a step up if he had taken the
He didn't. I think he could have, but he didn't.
And he didn't. But that team would have been good if he did. And that comes down from the offense you're running, the way you're developing your players, and if you want to flow the game through Zion, fine. But B.I. needs to be in the mix somehow. And more. He was good. He really, like, if you look at his numbers are good.
Yeah.
But his numbers are the same.
Right.
His numbers, like,
I think to get someone, it's just this constant kind of thing in the modern NBA, whereas you have a guy who's a top 20 player right now, Zion.
Yeah.
But, like, talent-wise, like, he could jump in that top 15 next year. He could maybe be in that fringe, like, 9, 10, 11, and I wouldn't be that surprised.
I just don't know how much better.
Well,
the outside shot, like all like that.
I don't even think that's what it is. I think it's just if he asserts himself defensively, like he really didn't this last year. Yeah. He basically just played offense.
Yeah,
he can be a tremendously versatile defender, impact the game at the rim as a shot blocker, be out on the wing and intercept passes, and get out on the break. But I think what you don't have between the two of them is you don't have a two-man game. You can't play like your best offense, which is why I think Jamal Murray and Jokic are the two best players. Jamal Murray is my pick for their two because he operates with Jokic. He makes Jokic better. He makes him more of a threat. B.I. and Zion aren't running a two-man game. They're just giving the ball to Zion in the post, and he's scoring, or he's getting that offensive rebound and scoring, or they're letting him be the point forward Zion and taking the ball down the court. So they're going to pepper their best player and up his usage rate, just like every other NBA team is doing.
Yeah, but but also in some senses, like there are a lot of teams are letting both guys get theirs. Like who's the better duo? Like, is it even a question that Jason and Jalen are a better duo than Zion and B.I.?
It's not even a question.
And that's the problem, because it should be a question.
Should it?
Yeah, I think B.I. is, like, good. B.I. is, like, he, like, I was, like, okay, if always iffy on B.I., but B.I. was so good last year that I was, like, okay, he's kind of, like, he's right there. Him and Zion could really be that next duo to jump up, and it wasn't them. And now it's like Gobert and Mitchell are definitely surpassed. I mean, they were ahead of them, and there's no question that they're going to be ahead of them, at least for the foreseeable future. They were lucky Jaren Jackson was injured, because Jaren Jackson could have passed them too. And again, they probably work better in their game. But Van Gundy should have found a way to make it work, because you're going to lose Lonzo, and for all intents and purposes, Lonzo's a better fit for Zion than B.I.
No, I agree. I don't disagree with your point of like turning B.I. into more of a point guard and making them play two-man together, but I also think like where Zion's best is not always on the block, right? It's just going downhill because no one wants to step in front of him because he's a bull. It's the LeBron bully ball. Like, he's going to get an and one. He's a great finisher around the rim. He's really tough to stop when he's got his head down.
Yeah, they just like too much on Zion. There was no B.I. Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes took a step back.
Barely even played.
Yeah, it's not another lotto pick. Brooks is gone. Washington. I have no idea what they're going to do there. They could trade both those guys. They could bring in DeRozan. They could bring in Christian Wood. Anything good. I've seen a million different things.
Yeah, I don't know the financial implications for Beal being All NBA third team. I wonder how that affects things going forward. Just his value and what he's worth now.
Yeah, well, it affects other guys.
Affected Jason Tatum quite a bit.
Affected Mitchell.
Yeah.
Booker. All these guys get affected, which is interesting. I don't know. I just don't know if anyone was necessarily snubbed. They're still all
I think
guys.
It's tough. I think like the biggest argument is Tatum, but you also can't really. My argument would be that LeBron is second team All-NBA, and he played half as many games as Jason Tatum.
I hated that. I love LeBron.
Or forget it, because there were X amount of people that didn't play so many games this year. But give some credit where credit is due. Jason Tatum played 64 out of the 72 games. Like, that's good. That's really impressive.
He was the biggest snub?
I think, to me, he was.
Yeah.
I'm not vying for him to be All-NBA third team. I'm not. I mean, the Celtics were bad.
Yeah.
You guys severely underperformed. I can't really disagree with them keeping him out, because I do think that you look at the other forwards and they were all deserved to be in that spot.
Yeah, I agree. Quickly, we'll let everyone rock. It's good basketball talk. I mean, the injuries we've touched upon, we knew that was like, I mean, this is no surprise. It's the same thing in baseball.
Yeah, we don't really know the Chris Paul situation. We won't know it until Saturday.
That's even different, but like I'm more so talking about all the injuries we've seen throughout the year. We're seeing it in baseball.
Eight All-Stars have missed a game in the NBA playoffs.
Bro, we said it. We knew it. How do you, if you're the leagues, we'll throw all the leagues in there because it happened in the NFL. It happened in baseball. It's happening in baseball. You are so ill-prepared and so money-driven that you've just Plaxico Burress shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I think you look at a lot of the injuries and you look at the specific plays where these guys are getting injured. Embiid's was a funky play.
Sure.
Kyrie came down hard on the ankle. But a lot of these...
Hamstring.
ADs? What really happened on that
wear
play?
And tear.
Kawhi?
Wear and tear.
Gets bumped on a very regular foul, like a very regular stop the break kind of foul by Joe Ingles. To my knowledge, didn't look like anything dirty that he did.
Yeah.
Kind of just bumped his leg. And then Kawhi comes down a little funkier than normal. And now all of a sudden, he might have torn something. He strained something. Like, that's
a mess.
I don't know where it all comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, is it because they're not getting the prep in the preseason? Is it because they're not getting the normal run that they would get in the regular season? So that when it comes time to it and they're pushing their bodies in the playoffs.
Should have won 64 games or 66. They should have won 64.
Yeah, it's tough. No one wants to see it.
Baseball should have went like shorter too. They should have had a longer extended spring training. Yeah. You cannot work guys in. You can't go from 60 innings or whatever. You can't go from like how many innings? Yeah, 60 innings to 200. You can't do it. You can't go from like time off, heavy, quick turnaround into a 72 game season. It's like just not. Maybe back in the day when people gave a shit less, weren't as athletic, it's just a mess of a situation.
Well, and then you see guys like Donovan Mitchell, who's a very young guy, who obviously his timetable to recover from things is a lot quicker than a guy like Kawhi, right? Like, he's been back in this series, and he's been great. And Kawhi, it looks like he hasn't missed a beat.
Kawhi's never not played in the playoffs. He's been in the playoffs every time. He's had injuries before. Kawhi's body's taken a beating.
Right.
Say what you will about all the rest stuff, and I hate it as a fan, but, like, his body's taken it. Like, Mitchell's, by the end of this, if all goes well, Mitchell plays in deep playoff series. This playoff series is going to go to six, at least. I mean, and who knows what happens when it's just Jazz Suns. That could go to seven. He gets to the finals. They'll say the Nets limp there, or whoever they play, it's going to be tough. I mean, this is not even close to over. Not even close.
Well, every day we get new information that changes everything.
Yeah.
We think that the Nets are going to win it, even without Harden. And then Kyrie goes down.
Yeah.
Then they lose a game. Then the Suns sweep the Nuggets. We think they're going to win it. And then Chris Paul might miss game one of the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Or potentially multiple. The Clippers roar back and tie the series 2-2. Kawhi gets hurt. Now that changes our... We're sitting here at 2-2 and we're like, the Clippers are going to win this series. They're at least going to take it to seven. If they win this, they have a good chance of going to the Western Conference Finals. You got Kawhi on your team, you always have a good chance of winning the finals.
Yeah.
Not anymore. No, like, everything changes...
It's a sad mess.
The Lakers are the clear front runners. They're going to beat the Suns because Chris Paul's hurt, and then Anthony Davis gets hurt. Like, there's
Chris Paul's back,
and Chris Paul's back, and now they're going to win. Like, there's so much that's changing,
and there's the
so
firings
quickly.
And the off season. It's already happening. It's, I mean, that's why the NBA is like the best show. It is one of the best shows in the world.
Yeah.
Quickly, we'll let everyone go. Do we have any sponsors? Do any people like us anymore?
People do like us. I think. If you're betting, you should go to betonline.ag.
Always.
As always, they got the 24-hour online casino, blackjack, poker, five-card stud.
five-card stud.
Yeah, you know how it goes. And outside of that, I would just like to give a little love to meat. Because
oh, you love meat.
Meat is something that I currently am eating. And I'm not.
But
Josh isn't, but I can speak
to it
for two of the three members of the Charity Stripe when I say that Nick and I really enjoy meat and that there's stuff going on in what's called the big food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, why are 97% of the chickens served in the U.S. dipped in chlorine?
Ew, what?
Yeah, it's simple because big food doesn't have the same quality standards as the family farm.
Is that true?
That's very true.
That is gnarly.
And that's why you need moinkbox.com. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/believe right now. And listeners to this show get free bacon for a year with every box ordered. Free bacon for a year.
That's a no-brainer.
That's a lot of bacon.
It's a D. Jack Hobbs sitch.
Lock it in. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time, spelled moinkbox.com/believe. That's moinkbox.com/believe.
Love it. Great basketball talk. Guys, we'll see you on the radio also.
We will see you then, or today. We will see you at another time.
See you another time. Hook 'em horns. Fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip the puck at the putt, HPK is because they're free, and each free throws, why toss?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We outcha, we love ya.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt.
at 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.